Are you ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, would you bow your head if you would, and let's pray. Father, we thank you right now. We sanctify this place by the precious blood of Jesus. We stop all distractions by the authority of that name, and we set our focus right now on you, on what you want to do, what you want to say. Speak to our hearts, let our hearts be open, just like out of Ephesians 1. Father, I pray that you would saturate this place with the Spirit, with the anointing of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of every person's heart that's listening to me right now would be open so that we can know, we can receive, we can see what you have for us, our destiny that comes from heaven, provision that comes from heaven, your power. Guide and direct us. We shake off the weights that would distract us and hold us back. We shake off the problems in the name of Jesus that have tried to distract us from hearing your truth. Your word tells us to shake those things off. Man, I just feel that in my spirit. Just shake your hands. I'm shaking that stuff off. I don't know what you came in with. I don't know if what you're dealing with. I don't know if you're struggling or you're concerned about someone who's struggling. We shake that off right now in the name of Jesus. That's a snake. I hear the Spirit of God saying, that's a snake. Shake it off. Put it back into the fire. Let me deal with it. Shake it off in the name of Jesus. You don't have to carry the burden. You don't have to carry the weight. Shake it off. Shake it off and be free from that in the name of Jesus. Whew. In the name of Jesus, be free from that. Be free from that. Be free from that. We shake it off, Lord Jesus. We shake it off. For whatever reason it showed up, we're not going to be concerned about that, but we shake it off into the fire right now. And we thank you, Father God, that according, just the way it happened to Paul, we will not be harmed. We are not hurt, but we are going higher to destiny, what you've called us to be and do. And we thank you for that. Now touch your people right now, stronger than they've ever been touched. Speak to them clearer than they've ever heard before. Reveal your heart in a greater capacity than they've ever received. Let it not be by man, but let it only be by your presence, your power. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Touch your people. Embarrass us with your goodness today. Blow our minds with your capacity. Help us to begin to believe greater things than we've ever dared to believe. Give us the boldness to pray, to ask, to speak beyond what we've ever done before. And we thank you for that. For we're not moved by what we feel, hear, see, but we're moved by your word. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Touch 2-3 people and say, glad to see you here this morning. Hallelujah. We've been doing a series on the person of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. It's amazing to me, again, like how so many different religions refer to the Holy Spirit in their prayers, in their whatever their sayings. Yet many people don't know about the Holy Spirit. More than a wind, more than a dove, more than emotion. The presence of God. Different titles, and we've talked in quick review, titles of the Holy Spirit. We've seen that he's the Spirit of Truth, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 17, 15, 26, and also 16, verse 13. He's the Spirit of Promise, Ephesians 1, verse 13. He's the Comforter, the Gospel of John, 14, verse 16, 26, 15, 26, and 16, 7. That word Comforter in the Greek is Paraclete, which means counselor, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, helper. Have you ever needed some counsel? Lord, I don't know what to do with this. Do I go through this door or do I stay away from that door? Do I hang with those people or I make that decision? Do I marry that person? Do I take that job? Do I buy that? Lord, show me what to do. I need some counsel. How many people need counsel? We need wise counsel, the Bible says. I don't need counsel because I got to check it on a trend or find somebody who tells me what they emotionally think. I need the counsel of heaven. We need that. Say, I need the counsel from heaven. Come on, say, I need the counsel from heaven. Man, it's one thing to have a good advisor and counselor. You know, have you ever noticed that some people are really good counselors or advisors? But if you find one, keep in mind, they're typically really good on one topic. They might be a great financial advisor, but a horrible marriage counselor. They might be a great marriage counselor, but a horrible career counselor. You know, I mean, counselors are typically very specific, but the Holy Ghost is specific. There you go. But the Holy Ghost is specific on every topic, and he will remind you of the word. Amen. Say, I need heaven's counsel. in every area of my life today. He's an intercessor. Oh, he'll stand there and intercede. He'll pray. You begin to pray Romans 8, and he'll pray through you the will of the Father. He's the advocate. He's the strengthener. The Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. The Bible tells us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The Bible tells us, Ephesians 1, that one of the things we're to know is his mighty power, the exceeding greatness of his power that's available to you who believe. So he's strong. So when you feel weak, say, all right, Holy Ghost, I need you to kick in here. I'm running at an 8.5, maybe 9, but I feel like I'm at a 4 today. I need you to kick in. I need to be at 25 today, but not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. I'm getting blessed just by talking about the titles. Hallelujah. He's a standby. Aren't you glad that you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother? He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your helper. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost, for being my helper. He helps you when you pray, Romans 8:26. He helps you even to love God. I am not feeling the love of God. Maybe you don't feel God's love to you, or you don't feel much about a love toward God. That's okay. You're human, but that doesn't mean you have to stay there. You can just say, Lord, I need your help. Help me to love Jesus today. Help me to want to go to church this morning. Come on. Help me not to want to kill my kids on the way to church this morning. Come on, somebody. Help me not to get mad at people that are doing some crazy things. Hallelujah. He helps you understand the Bible, John 16, verse 13. So I just read that Bible, it doesn't make sense. Well, you've been stuck in the begats. You don't need to start in Genesis. Get in the Gospel of John. Start reading the New Testament. Read the epistles and pray. Holy Spirit, I'm going to spend time in this word. And I'm not doing it to look good. I'm not doing it to get my checks off on how many things I've done. I'm not doing it good so I feel good about what I've accomplished. I'm doing it because I need to eat from this word today. And you alone know what I need. You know, on a side note, with my daughter who's just finished being a junior, now going to be a senior in high school, help me, Jesus. I just said that because she's growing up real fast. But anyway, some of you are so happy. You're going to be happy at everything. But when she was born, she came 10 weeks early, and she was in the NICU for 5 weeks. And she's perfectly healthy, no negative side effects, amen. But one of the things they had Kim do is that had what they called kangaroo. And they would take and have Kim hold her to her bosom, skin to skin. And the doctor said, you know, I don't know how people can even be doctors and not know about God. You know, and the doctor said, when Logan, the baby's skin, would touch Kim's skin and she would hold her, that Kim's body could pick up what Logan was missing. And the human body then produces what Logan is missing in the milk. So when Kim would nurse, she would be getting a DNA-specific designed, are you listening to me? Custom designed, nutrient based, what Logan needed at the moment. Oh my God. Don't tell me that we came from a rock, frog, monkey, fell in a spin out. When they told me that, I'm like, you kidding me? They said, no, this is very important. Where the connection of intimacy began, come on, somebody. See, some of us are trying to get something out of the Word of God, and we aren't spending any time with God. Where that connection of intimacy begins, you know what happens? When you begin to read, you'll be like, how in the world did the Lord know that I needed that today? Yeah. Okay. He restores life to our body, Romans 8:11. Hallelujah. He's quickening our physical body today. Thank you, Jesus, by your Spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is quickening your body as I speak right now by his Spirit. Hallelujah. See, sometimes you got to say, if you don't believe in this, you shouldn't stay long enough. If you stay long enough, you're going to get blessed no matter what. Hallelujah. He assures us that we are the children of God, Romans 8:16. And we are empowered, anointed by him. Luke 4:19 and Acts 10:38. Amen. Today I want to pick up in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there. I'm going to read 13 verses, so just chill out and relax for a few minutes. We usually read one or two, but there's power in this. King James, then shall the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is talking, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes, go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Look to your neighbor and say, give us of your oil. See, now that's a foolish thing to say. You're going to see why. They said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, no way, I don't think so, not here, not today, not ever, Greg Bruce translation, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. You know, we'll not know the day or the hour when the rapture comes, but we'll know the seasons. And people say, how will I know if I'm ready? The best way to know if you're going to be ready is to stay ready. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man comes. So we have to stay ready. Stay ready. I think it's interesting, a couple things before I get into the main topic here. I think it's interesting just in observation point. One, they were all virgins throughout the whole process. Go into church and praise God you came to church today. It's a thing you should do. It's a priority, making saying, Jesus, you're number one. I'm going to make and define that, not just by what I say, but what I do. Because what you do carries a lot more weight than just what you think or even believe. Well, I believe in God. Well, if you're not living for him, then you probably don't believe it that much. But the Bible says that even demons believe in God and are intimidated and shake. But they're not going to heaven. You can sleep in a garage, doesn't make you a car. You can go to church, doesn't make you a Christian. You can look like the righteous, but not be righteous. So there was 10 virgins, and they were always at all times dressed like the virgins, acted like the virgins, hung out and did everything that the other 5 wise virgins did. But one of the things they did not have was enough oil. They had oil. I think it's also interesting to notice that not only did they have oil at one time, they knew that they were short when it was time to trim the lamps. I think it's also interesting, in that just from observation, not only did they know that they were short, but they knew where to get it. They first went to the people that had it and said, give us what you have. And they said, no, if we give you what we have, we're not going to even have enough for ourselves for the journey, which means we recognize the value of what we have, and we're not going to give it away. Right. But you go and buy some. And so they didn't say, where? We can't. How am I going to do that? They went. And while they were on their way, so they knew where to get the oil, they knew what they needed was the oil, but the process is the time wasn't right when they finally got the oil, and they showed up at the door. And they showed up at the door, and it was locked. I remember doing a message many years ago when I was a youth pastor, and that whole topic, the door is closing. We are in the age of grace. Yes, some people have taken that topic and have totally polluted the teaching. But you know what? Any truth, someone's going to try to take it to an extreme. The age of grace doesn't mean live any way you want and God's already paid for your sins, and so he doesn't care if you commit adultery. I've heard preachers say that. If you commit adultery on Saturday, you don't need to repent on Sunday. He's already taken care of it. Well, they need to read the entirety of the context of the New Testament. For God is merciful, but he's also holy. He's righteous. And yes, the blood of Jesus can and has paid the sin of humanity. But if you despise it, if you misuse it, then it's not available to you, the Bible says. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. My job is not to get you to agree with me. My job is just to get you to think about it and process it and seek God about it. So the context of grace has been misconstrued to say you live any way you want, do whatever you want, and it's all okay. And it's not. Romans 6 is very specific. Paul says, shall we use this new freedom that we have to go back and sin? And he said, God forbid. I don't know how what translation you read, but God forbid is going to be God forbid no matter what. Because whoever you submit yourselves to, that's who you become servants to. And God wants you to be the servant of him, not the servant of sin and the devil. Because the enemies come, John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life and life more abundantly. The reason, one of the reasons that Jesus didn't respond to the temptation of the devil, even to make food out of the rock, is not that he couldn't do it, and not that it didn't sound like it was a good deal in that particular thing, but the fact that if he would responded to the instruction of the devil, he would become subservient to the one who gave the instruction. You don't need to do something just because the devil tells you to do it. And he will try to tell you to do stuff in the journey of life that looks good, but he's trying just to see if you know how to define the difference between God's voice and his. And there's a lot of people in the church world that are trying everything because the devil is tormenting them, confusing them, and exhausting them. And they're trying to do everything they think is right, but if they're not being led by the Spirit of God or the Word of God. They're being led by the enemy. And it's not that, oh, they're a bad person, but they are bringing themselves under the subjection of the authority of the enemy because he's the one that they're following. Because he can show up as an angel of light. That's why you line everything up with the Word of God. You don't line up things with the emotions or opinions or trends. You line everything up with the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen. And so the wise virgins knew what they needed. They knew what they were missing. They knew what they needed to get. They knew where to get it, and they knew where to go. They knew all of it. But their lack of intimacy, they were not prepared. And because they were not prepared, when the door closed, Jesus comes out, or that's the context of the kingdom, he comes out and says, I'm sorry, I don't know you. Now, some will debate and say, see, they were never saved because he said, I never knew you. But you have to read the Bible in context. Don't just read one verse and define it the way you see it. Because even the prodigal son, when he came back and the father was talking to the older brother and said, listen, it is imperative or important that we celebrate your son, that your brother is coming back because my son was dead, now he's alive. So separation from relationship from God, from perspective of heaven, means you've been cut off, not because God has cut you off, but you have cut yourself off. God told Israel, show me the divorce papers. Show me where I've cast you out. I have not done it. Your sin has separated you from me. God doesn't kick you out. People walk out. And then they blame God because they feel like they've been kicked out because they can't get anything from God. Their prayers aren't being answered. And it's not God's fault. He's there. He's never moved. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he say, I'm right here, but you got to turn to me. You got to repent and come back to me. You got to reconnect. You're the branch. I'm the vine. You got to reconnect. See, I got to reconnect sometimes. So the wise virgins went in. The five foolish didn't make it in. And as I was preparing, actually earlier this morning, this dropped in my heart, this thought. Have you ever wondered what's on the other side of that door? If you can begin to see for just a few minutes the perspective of the foolish virgins when they got to the door and it was closed and locked and they couldn't get in, don't you think they wondered what's on the other side of that door? I think the problem that a lot of people have in the church world is we've lost the understanding of what's on the other side of the door. Yeah. Yeah. Stay with me. Oh God, open our hearts and our minds that we can begin to see what is on the other side of the door. Amen. We can't understand everything because heaven is so amazing that we just would blow up. Our minds could not conceive all of it. Even Paul says that the man who went to the third heaven, there's three heavens. The first heaven's where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the stars are. Third heaven's the realm of God. And he said, I went to the third heaven. He goes, there's stuff I can't even put in words. It was so amazing. What has happened historically in the church, and things go through phases, and there's a point and purpose to the phases, but we got to remember that each phase is like a brick in the wall. We don't want to tear out the past brick to build a new brick for the wall. And there was a phase where everything was about the heaven, about heaven. All the songs written were about heaven. Most of the messages were about heaven. And people were like, I can't wait to get to heaven. They didn't do anything on the earth. They struggled. They starved. They hurt. They got beat up by the devil. But they knew one day, I'm going to get in heaven. They would sing, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. They would talk about walking on the streets of glory. They would talk about, he's got a mansion for me. They would celebrate and shout how God, when they get to heaven, that they would have joy unspeakable, full of glory. They begin to talk about being healed and whole. They would talk about all the things that God would do and being in the presence of God and the greatness of heaven. And yet they lost sight or did not have the revelation of what we're supposed to do on the earth today. And then in the process of growth and the timing of God, all of a sudden, new songs were being written, new revelations were given, new messages were preached, and it was just not about heaven. It became about what we do here on earth. Hey, wait a minute. Jesus is the one who said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Bible tells us, that Hebrews 6:12, that we're supposed to inherit the promises of God through faith and patience, which means that I can wait till I get to heaven to have everything, or I can begin to believe I receive, Mark 11, 23-24, come on, church, and say, whatever's in heaven for me today, I'm going to begin to believe it specifically and bring it through the promise of the Word of God, and because it's the promises of God to us are yea and amen, so be it and approved to the glory of God. And wait a minute, I don't have to wait till I get to heaven. I can begin to believe for healing today in my body now. I don't have to wait for the blessing when I get to heaven. I can begin to believe for God's financial Jehovah Jireh provision to flow like a river into my hands, for he is all sufficient. He is El Shaddai. He is Elohim. He is God and God alone, and there is none like him. Are you listening? And I can begin to believe for his provision in my life today. I can begin to believe for his peace in my marriage, in my mind, in my spirit, in my family, in my home, wherever I go today, because he is the Prince of Peace. Are you listening? We can begin to say, wait a minute, I can get it when I get to heaven, but I can back up and say, wait a minute, I'm going to step into it while I'm here on earth. Because when I get it on earth, by faith, it not only honors God, it demonstrates God's goodness to other people that do not know Jesus. We need for the unchurched and the unsaved and some atheists and agnostics to see God bless you and heal you and promote you in a way that they look at you and watch your life, what appears that you don't even are aware of it, what appears from afar, but over the process of time and say, wait a minute, they have something different. This can't be by accident. But wait a minute, I need to sometimes take a step back. I was talking to a person that comes out of the Jewish, he's actually a high priest, I won't draw attention to him, but we were talking about the prayer shawl and Jesus would wear and the hem of the garment, those knots and all they represent. And he said something I've never seen before, and he had one with him, and he showed me how they would wear it. And he said, what we do before we pray is we take a step back. And it symbolizes I'm just gonna distract myself or be distracted from what usually distracts me. I'm going to forget about the world stuff. So I'm gonna take a step back, and then I take a step forward again, and I step back into the presence of God. Sometimes we gotta take a step back. I thought, wow, I've never heard that. That is powerful. Sometimes we gotta take a step back and say, wait a minute, I'm getting so caught up in the rat race of the problem or the pursuit of something good. Sometimes we gotta stop and say, wait a minute, he is God and God all by himself. And I'm gonna take a step back, shake some stuff off me, come on somebody, and step back in to what he has for me. We gotta do that when we pray. We gotta do that. You gotta do that when you're walking in the church. I'm telling you, you gotta take a step back and say, okay, I'm in church. I'm not at work. I'm not at home. I'm not at a doctor's office. I'm not paying bills. I'm not dealing with problems. I'm not dealing with kids. Kids are being ministered to. Children are being ministered to. Everything's good. I'm taking a step back. I'm letting all that stuff go. I'm shaking it off and I'm stepping back into it. All right, Lord, I'm in your presence. You are God and you are God all by yourself. And in the church, we begin to understand that, wait a minute, God wants and can and delights in giving us the kingdom on the earth, that he wants us to demonstrate his goodness. He wants us to receive it. Yes, it's in covenant of salvation. Yes, you will have it. You have it now, and it might not manifest till you get to heaven, but you can believe that you receive it and demonstrate it here on earth. But the problem that we ran into is we became so focused on what's happening on the earth that we've lost sight of what's going to happen on the other side of the door. Both are good. We don't want to tear out a wall while we're building a house because you've got to build another wall. We need both walls. We need to keep reminding ourselves that we are the head and not the tail. That whatever we put our hands to, Psalms 1:3, is blessed and successful. That we are doing great things for God. But we can't forget that we're here, and what seems like a long time on earth is only a vapor to eternity, and our life does not end at the end of this, that we have to realize that when we cross over, it's not a demotion, it's a promotion. Paul said it this way. He not only did he see things that he couldn't even put in words, he said, listen, I know I'm coming close to the end of my race. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And now there is waiting for me a crown that Jesus is going to give me because I obeyed him. And he said to his people, he said, listen, I have a desire to be with the Lord. He knew that when he died, it wasn't, you're not taking a dirt nap. You are not worm food. Are you listening to me? You are not ceasing to exist. You are not going into a dream state. Paul says, on this side, I see through a glass dimly. Like you look through a window that hasn't been cleaned and all smudged. And you say, I'm seeing, and I can see figures. I can see some stuff. But he said, one day when we cross over, I will see clearly. I will know as I am known. I'm telling you, if Jesus is Lord of your life, one day you're going to cross through, and it's not going to be, oh no, oh me, oh my. It's going to be, praise the Lord, I have finished my, I'm not even going to believe that you just showed up. I'm going to believe that you're walking through the door saying, I have kept the faith. I have finished. I have fought a good fight. I have done what you've called me to do. And you know that the Father's going to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you listening? Does anybody agree with me today that you're not just making it through life, barely getting to heaven, but you will accomplish the destiny from eternity? Heaven is working in you. Heaven is working through you. You are demonstrating the kingdom of heaven on this earth, and one day you're going to walk through those doors and say, I have finished my fight. I have finished my race. I have done what the Father has asked me to do. I wasn't just wasting it. I didn't waste my life. I didn't just solve problems, but I was there by assignment. I was there for purpose. I was there for destiny. I speak that into your life today. You are not an accident. You are not just showing up and doing the routine. You are not living like everybody else. You are a child of the Most High God with a purpose and a destiny, and you will not come short of it. You will fulfill it. You will complete it. Your days will be fulfilled. The number of days that he has designed for you will not be shortened by one moment by the enemy. You are the King's son and daughter. You are the great I Am's child. You are the Most High God's children. You are the son and daughter of the Most High God. Begin to live like that, because one day we're going to walk through that door. Hallelujah. You don't need titles. You don't need recognition on this side. You don't need a bunch of titles and people clapping for you. All you need to know is that you are serving God and doing what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. What is on the other side of that door? What is on the other side of that door? I believe one of our purposes, child of God, is we got to bring this to the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God on the earth, the church globally, no one here, but there's a lot of churches, they don't preach the word. It's about a self-help, and I'm not bashing people. It's about get by self-help, just ride, suffer along. It's about you be the best person. Listen, God's called you to be better than what you could be. He's called you to be a part of the great I Am. Romans 8:29, you're called into the image of Christ. That is by these great and precious promises that we, and are you listening to me today? But I believe one of our purposes, assignments, is, and as a result of us not doing it in the church world. My point being, we have a lot of people that have lost sight of what's on the other side of the door. Yeah. So for them, the Bible is just about making me comfortable today. And God wants you to be victorious, happy, and have joy. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Absolutely. But what has been lost is we don't know the value of what's on the other side of the door. What was in the heart of these men and women of old who would be willing to lay their lives down? They knew something that most average Christians don't, who only pray to God when they want something from God and are quick to leave Him when it didn't happen the way they thought. They don't understand what's on the other side of the door. And I believe the reason they don't understand what's on the other side of the door is no one's been demonstrating what's on the other side of the door. Because I don't believe our only priority is to get to heaven. I believe one of our priorities on earth is to demonstrate heaven on earth. To bring the kingdom of God into the kingdom of the earth. To manifest the kingdom of heaven. To manifest the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I feel that in my spirit. To manifest the kingdom of heaven on this earth. It's not just about your paycheck and God wants you blessed. But it's to manifest the presence of God, the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Not because you're in full-time ministry or not in full-time ministry. But oh, how life would change when you'd wake up and say, God, use me. Use me today. Manifest your goodness. Manifest your goodness, 2 Corinthians 2:14. You become an aroma of the fragrance of the goodness of God wherever you go. Manifest the kingdom of heaven on the earth today. I believe that so much that I believe that in the parable of the prodigal, let's go back to that. That in the parable of the prodigal son, because, and we've talked about this before, but it's worth repeating. Because faith doesn't come by hearing, but by hearing and hearing and hearing. And a lot of Christians know about the prodigal son who said to his father, give me my inheritance. Man, there's a whole message in that. He was bold to go to the father and say, I want my inheritance now. He got that right. He got that right. The father didn't say, you can't. The father said, here you go. Now, there's something wrong in his heart that caused him to leave the father. Because when you get the inheritance, if you leave the father, it was your problem in your heart. And you already started the process of your own demise. Man, there's a message right there that we got to learn to begin to approach the throne of God boldly by the blood of Jesus and say, Father, your word says, and I can inherit this, Hebrews 6:12, by faith and patience. So I believe I receive, Mark 11:23, 24. I ask you for it according to your word, and I believe I receive what belongs to me by inheritance, because you don't access inheritance until someone dies, and the person who died was Jesus on the cross. So when he died on the cross of Calvary, your inheritance is yours. It's been waiting for you. You can wait again till you get to heaven, or you can begin to say, it is available. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. Just not for me and my for, but I want to demonstrate the goodness of God to other people. I want to be able to share it because freely you receive, freely give. Are you with me? If you believe that, give the Lord a clap of praise. And the prodigal son said to his father, Father, give me my inheritance. And the father gave it to him, and he went off and lived a wrong life, because money is not evil, but money will give you an opportunity to demonstrate what's in your heart. Money can be a powerful tool to do good. You could feed a lot of hungry kids with money. You could build a lot of churches with money. You can get a lot of Bibles out with money. See, the devil's told the church, and they just believed it, that money's evil. And literally, the history, not to go down this road, the history was when the kings would want to tax their citizens because they wanted more money, but they didn't want the citizens to revolt, so they got the priest to agree with the political side, the king, that you begin to teach that poverty is good so that people don't revolt against us, and we'll give you some. Oh, man, I got some things to say. I just better keep my mouth shut. It's amazing to me that people take a vow of poverty, and then the money that should be going to them goes to somebody who has more money than they can spend. See, I believe people should live their convictions. See, I'm going down a rabbit trail, ever rabbit trail, ever rabbit trail, ever rabbit trail. And the key is, can we wake our way back up? But we will figure it out. If you believe in poverty, great. Live it. That's your convictions. Until the Lord shows you differently in the Word of God, live your convictions. But don't teach your, don't live one conviction and teach a different conviction.
Right.
Don't be preaching on holiness and you're living out like with adultery.
Right.
Holiness is a good thing. Don't teach poverty and you got more money and more art and more property and more your own private army. I'm getting in hot water. I'm going to feel it right now. I'm feeling people staring at me. Help me get back, Jesus. So the prodigal said, give me my inheritance, and off he went. And the, most people take from that parable just the story of the prodigal coming back. But there was two sons. And the second son got bent out of shape. He didn't understand that what was legally his by inheritance could be literally his by possession. And he wouldn't even go into the party, and the father wouldn't find him. He said, listen, I've been with you, Father, all these days, and I have not stopped working for you. He came out of the field. He worked as a laborer, not as a son. And that's a whole other message. Man, Christians got to wake up that they're sons and daughters of the Most High God and who they are in him. Kenneth Hagin Sr. used to encourage people to go through the New Testament, find every scripture that talks about in him, in Christ, and begin to see who you are in Christ. It's a great study. He didn't know who he was in relation to his father. And he said, you haven't even given me a goat for me and my friends to celebrate, and yet you kill the fatted calf. And the father said, son, all these days you've been with me. He didn't let him stay as a servant. He brought him right back to son. He didn't say employee. He said, son. All these days you've been with me, don't you realize that all that I have is yours? Yes. That son could have called on for a fatted calf to the servants and had the legal right to enjoy what was legally his to become literally his. Man, that's a whole other series in itself. But what I want to draw attention to my thought, is that when the prodigal son was starving, money ran out, friends had left, and he was feeding the swine. And to a Jewish person, that's a whole other ball game, because pigs were unclean. And he got to where he was hungry for what the swine were eating. See, sin doesn't play fair. What once you wouldn't even touch, now you're wanting to eat what they're eating. But he came to himself, the Bible says, King James translation, and please challenge it in your own time. He came to himself and said to himself, why do I sit here being hungry for this slop when my father's servants have more than enough? A lot of people walk away from that interpretation of that text and they'll begin to say, well, see, the problem is everybody needs to hit the rock bottom, and then they'll wake up. But it wasn't rock bottom that caused them to wake up. Rock bottom doesn't make everybody wake up. Sometimes rock bottom just puts people into a cycle of addiction and they never get out. What caused him to wake up? It was not that he hit rock bottom. It was because he was awakened, reminded. He came, the Bible says is the word, he came to himself. He came back to begin to think the way he used to think. And what did he think about? The Father. He wasn't crying, oh me, oh my. He began to say, wait a minute. My Father is so generous that even his employees have more than enough. So my thought with that is that it's not hitting rock bottom. It's if when he remembered or was reminded of the generosity and the goodness of his father, he began to have his heart turn toward back the father. Now, with those all said, let me bring it together. Let's put it together. Then I could, in theory, say, if his brother... If the prodigal son's brother, who was in the house, but not living like he was in the house, he's going to church like the five foolish virgins. He was doing everything they were all doing, but there was something missing in his identity, who he was, a connection to the Father. If he was in right understanding of the Father, who he was with the Father, if he was in the proper placement, then he could have had a party sooner. Yep. 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 if he would have had a party sooner, not waiting for it to come to him, but a party that he said, wait a minute, I'm a son of the Father, and the Father, all that is the Father's is mine, so I can have access to a fatted calf. I want to have a party tonight. I'm going to have a party to celebrate my Father. He could call the servants and said, get the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a party. And he could have had the biggest party in town. The reason I say that is not for the purpose of having a party, but the purpose of, if he would have had a party sooner, his brother could have heard the music. Now you're going to start warming up to this idea. Because if his brother could hear the music of the party, his brother would say, ooh, I hear some music. Why are they having a party? And his mind would have been open. He said, wait a minute, that music sounds like something I'm from. Oh my God, that music reminds me of something I've heard before. See, the problem we have so many people that are unchurched is because they were in church at one time and they knew God, but they got away from God and they're on the rhythm of life without God. And all we need to do is begin to demonstrate the goodness, start having some music, start having some parties, start having some celebration, start demonstrating the goodness of our Father. And they begin to say, wait a minute, I remember that feeling. I remember that sound. I remember that. I think that's called the anointing. I remember that. I remember that. Even on these TV shows, you'll get like an American Idol and stuff. I love it when somebody goes up and they begin to sing and they don't realize the anointing on the person singing. Maybe they're a worship pastor or whatever. And all of a sudden they'll begin to sing and the anointing hits the place and they'll be like, ooh, they don't even know what to say. They're like, ooh, that's like having church. They know something's different about that person. This is not for everybody, because most Christians just want to help me get through the day, Jesus. Help me get a paycheck, I can pay my bills, Jesus. But I'm telling you, there is something that will help you live a victorious life, and that's beginning to understand there's greatness on the other side of that door. And it's just not trying to make it through the door. It's beginning to say, I'm going to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. What's on the other side of the door? I'm going to bring it to this side of life, and I'm going to begin to be who God's called me to be. You're not to emulate other people, you're not to imitate, you're not to be their style, you be your own style. But I'm telling you, it's God in you, Christ in you, the Bible said. Are you listening? Christ in you, the anointed one and his anointing in you, the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you listening? That wherever you go, you can demonstrate the presence of God, that people that no longer know him can be reminded of him and say, I don't know what it is, but something when I'm around you makes me want to go to church, makes me want to read my Bible, makes me want to think. I begin to think about God when I'm just talking to you. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, there's something greater than just success by success alone. But when you begin to understand, God wants to work in you and through you to demonstrate his power so that people can know, hey, it's time to throw a party, church. I'm speaking prophetically in somebody's life. You're going to walk out of this building today, and some people like this, some people don't. That's okay. I'm not here to do what people like. I'm to do what the Spirit of God says. And there are people here leaving today that when you walk out of the building, it's going to come to you at the right moment, at the right time. You don't need to do it like other people do it. You don't need to say it the way other people say it. You just do what's on your heart by the Spirit of God. But what am I putting in the phrase? The phrase is, today you're going to throw a party. Look to your neighbor and say, get ready to throw a party. I'm not as good as T.D. Jakes. He would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. But I'm telling you, get ready to throw a party. Wherever you're at, anytime God used me to throw a party, whatever, if it's a word in due season, if it's a prayer, if it's laying our hands on the sick, if it's a kind word, whatever it is, oh God, use me to throw a party, because there's people that need to hear the aroma, the music of heaven, to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven on this earth so that they can know there's something of value here. What's on the other side of that door? The Bible tells us. Now you're going to think that this verse has nothing to do with this, but I'm telling you, it does. Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Most people think that grieving the Holy Spirit is only about blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and that's not what it's talking about. Because if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and that's a knowing, willing act, then there's no forgiveness. But this is grieving the Holy Spirit. How many times do we have to repent? God, I know you asked me to do something and I disobeyed. I grieve the Spirit of God. Why do we grieve the Holy Spirit? It's because we don't understand the value of his presence in our life. And because we don't understand the value which is on the other side. He is the down payment we've talked about already. He is just the beginning. He's the down payment. But there is a level of anointing that when you get in heaven, that's why your body, and we'll get into this in the next series, that's why you need to have your body transfigured, because your physical mortal body with its frailties, because of what Adam did, when he brought humanity under the curse of sin, it cost humanity the glory of God. Because even they asked, and you see this in Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Whew, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to wait. You're going to have to wait till June. We're going to wait till June. We'll get into that. But there is a level of goodness that we cannot even conceive. And we've lost the value. Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, Exodus. Moses, God said, Moses, I'm going to let you go in with, I'm going to let the people go into the promised land. But I'm not going to go. I'm going to send an angel. Most of us, when God answers a prayer, we don't care how he brings it. Just bring us the answer to the prayer. But God said to Moses, I'm not going to go. I'll send an angel with you. You're going to go in. The people will go into the promised land. And Moses responds, please check it out on your own time. He said, God, what separates us from the other nations of the world? Is it not your presence? If you don't go, we don't go. I'm not going in without you. Moses valued the presence of God so much that he was willing to put a stop on the plan of God and saying, listen, that promised land is good. It's everything you've said. It's great. It's amazing. But God, if you don't walk in with us, we're not going. Because what separates us from the rest of the world, are you listening to me today, church? It's not just you have a lot of money. Gangbangers that sell drugs have a lot of money. It's just not that you have fame. There's people that have fame that we don't want to be associated with. It's not that just you have power. There's people in the mob that have power and can get people killed. It's not power or fame or success within itself. It's having the presence of God. If the fame costs you the presence of God, let it go. If the money costs you God's presence, let it go. Oh, I can't go to church anymore. I got to work. You need to let some stuff go. Am I talking to somebody? You got to get to the place of God. I'm so hungry for you that I know you're my Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. I'll not let anything come between me and you. And God, if it means that there's something that looks good, that you have made for me, but it costs me and requires me to leave you, you can keep it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I want your presence more than I want anything. And the reason Moses could say that is he had been in the Shekinah. He had been in the glory. He had been in the presence of God. He had saw God destroy Egypt by his mighty power. But he wasn't saying it because he was afraid of God's power. He was in love with God's presence. God, I want you. I value your presence so much. That's what's on the other side of the door. That's what happened to the five foolish, that they thought the oil was a part of the process. They didn't understand that the oil was the key ingredient. You can be the greatest singer. You can be the greatest teacher. You can be the greatest business person. You can be the greatest preacher. You can be the greatest influencer. But if you don't have the oil, you are not getting through the door. The most important thing is the oil of God. That's what's on the other side. It's his goodness. It's his presence. It's God Almighty. It's just not knowing about the oil or where to get the oil or who has the oil or how you get the oil. It's about walking and living your life that God, today I'm going to live before you. And I know that I'm not perfect, but you are perfect in me. And I know that I'm trusting you. And God, if there's any area, just show me, remind me, let me know. I don't want to go down a path that costs me the oil. It doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. It doesn't. You are not water Christians. Water goes to the place of least resistance. And a lot of Christians do that and blame the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit didn't lead me to do that. They would have never made it. to the promised land. Because there will be giants in your land that you've got to be willing to rise up and stand and speak against and bind and loose, Matthew 18:18. But what keeps us with oil is the value of the oil so that we know what's on the other side of that door. Oh, God. And it's not a mental thing of, oh, yeah, it's good. It's not a mindset of, oh, yeah, I can articulate it. Because you can't put in words what only God can demonstrate by truth. It's a reality that you've come head on with a God who is more than enough. The great I am. What if, for some of us in this room, what if this idea of Jesus is more than a traditional religious routine that the world has done for thousands of years? What if this thing is true? What if this thing is true? What if this gospel is that real? What if it can override everything the devil would try to throw at you? What if it is greater than any system that the earth has? What if this thing is real? Most churches are filled with what you might call Christian atheists. They come to God. They say they believe in him, but they really don't. And they think they've achieved something because they can quote or get some level of success. But the reality is having a heart for God. This is not something you're going to get in a meeting. This is going to get something where you get in your own prayer closet. And you say, I'm going to turn the TV off. There's nothing on TV anyway. Come on. I remember the days, I'm showing my age, I remember the days when we all had four channels and it all went off at midnight, you know, or 10 o'clock is sometime. Show the flag, play the anthem, and ding. That's in the days when you didn't have a remote. Us kids were the remote. Go change the channel. I was a remote. I was the antenna. So y'all remember that? What's that, saran wrap or whatever you wrap around it to make it extend it? Aluminum foil. That was it. Aluminum foil. If that didn't work, you know, you get it right to get a signal and you let your hands off. And they're like, oh, the moment you took your hands off, it went bad. Come on, put your hand 1 foot out. Before they had yoga, we had be an antenna. I don't know about you. Have you ever sat down on a side note? Have you ever sat down to eat and you're like, oh, I'm gonna see what's on. And I get done eating before I find anything that's on. You go through all of them. Netflix, Hulu, whatever. You go through and you're like, no, not that one. No, not that one. No, not that one. By the time you get done, you're like, I didn't get to watch anything. So you don't always get it in a service, and you can, but there's something about getting in the prayer closet with you and God and saying, God, there is something I know that is beyond me. It's on the other side of the door, and I want it now. I thank you for the financial blessings. I thank you for the healing. I thank you for peace. I thank you for all these things. They are so important. Jesus paid for them. I am not devaluing them. But Father God, there is the presence of God that's stronger than I've ever experienced before. I want your glory. Because we can't demonstrate on the earth what we do not have in our own life. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, how's that ever going to work for me? I'm not even a minister. I just got saved. I barely even know what the Bible's about. It's not about you being perfect. It's you being hungry and available. Oh, God, I want to know what's on the other side of that door. It's not being kooky and weird. And there's some weird people in the church world. There is. Some of you are like, I don't want to be anything like that because I know what people say. It's not being weird. Those are just weird people. We love them. We pray for them. They were weird before Jesus. They talk about going to heaven 7 times a day. They're just weird. They're just weird. I'm sorry. I know some of them. They're just weird. I had to tell a preacher once, don't bring them back to me. That guy's just weird. I didn't tell him in front of him. I did the Christian way. I had to talk behind his back. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me that tone. You've done that too. Some of you about me want your way out. I don't know. I just think. and having a hunger for God. Lord, what's on the other side of the door? And that's where you understand the value of God's presence. Because the tactic of the enemy, if he can't keep you from moving forward, he'll try to entice you, Matthew 13, away from God. He did that to Jesus. Worship me and you don't have to go to the cross. I'll make you top dog here. And Jesus said, listen, you worship none but God. Understanding the value of that oil comes from knowing what's on the other side of that door. So that regardless of the situation, I did a message years ago, it was how much for your oil? How much for your oil? TV show, an offense of somebody in church. I'm not going back to church. They were rude to me. You know, you don't understand the value of your oil. When you get to the place that they can beat you and throw you in jail, like Paul and Silas, I'm still going to praise God. You're not keeping me from the oil. You can tell me you hate me, but I'm still going to get me some oil. You can tell me don't even come back, but I'm still going to get me some oil. You can tell me nobody wants me here, but I'm still going to get me some oil. You can tell me I'm a failure, but that's not going to stop me. What's the price for your oil? You get to where, like the woman, Jesus said, should I give the bread to the dogs? And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. She knew the value of what she wanted by faith. She was not going to don't let anything take your oil. Don't give it up. But so-and-so, I used to watch them on TV and I found out that they did some bad stuff. That's between them and Jesus. They're not your Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People will fail. But don't you understand, people are not perfect. Only God is perfect. But they were so anointed. Yeah, we have this treasured earthen vessels that the glory may be of God. But don't get your eyes so caught up on people. Keep your eyes looking for the joy. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him. What's on the other side of that door? If you agree with that, give me the next 30 seconds. Give the Lord the loudest praise. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed, out of respect what we're doing, I ask everybody to stop moving around. There's three different groups of people I'm targeting right now. Number one, the people who've never heard the gospel that God sent out of love, sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, came to the earth in the flesh without sin, died on the cross for our sins, on the third day rose again. And because of that, we can be saved. That's the gospel, the good news. Your sins are forgiven. You can know God. You can go to heaven. You can miss hell. Second group is people that, hey, I used to know God, I used to walk with God, but for whatever reason, I've allowed stuff to come between me and God, and I know my heart's not right. Or third group is people that say, you know what, I don't even know. I prayed that prayer, but I don't really know. I'm not confident that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. If any of those three are you, this prayer, I want you to pray. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, this is your day for salvation. Say with me, if either of those three are you, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, make me whole. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer at the count of three, I just want to know who I was praying with. And I want to speak a blessing over you. So at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. You don't need to come down. Just stand to your feet. We're going to clap. We're going to celebrate. Some of you might feel like, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people. I get it. I'm the same way. But if we don't stand up for Jesus in a room where people are clapping for us, how do we stand up for Jesus in a room that's not? So the count of three. Some of you are shy. Some of you are bold. The bold ones stand quickly. But if you prayed that prayer and you mean business with God, then I want you to stand to your feet at the count of three. One, two, three. Who was I praying with? I want you to stand to your feet. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Three. God bless you. Four. God bless you. Five, six. God bless you. Come on. Come on, church. Give them a hand clap. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands toward him. First of all, let me say welcome to the family of God. Let me pray a blessing. Father, according to your word, I thank you. I ask you to strengthen them with might by your spirit. Let them be strong like they've never been strong before by your spirit in their inner person. We curse and bind and cancel the assignment of every curse against them. Every assignment of an evil relationship that the devil's used to hold them back and bring them back into sin. We break that connection right now. Any addictions, we curse and break them. In Jesus' name, we set them free. And we speak the right people into their life. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing. We call them not only saved, they are the righteousness of God. Strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man, inner person. And we give you praise. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and want to let us know, this is the way we do it. Different churches do it differently, and that's all good. We don't chase people. We're here. We go to the nth degree. We do everything with excellence. We go to the nth degree to be there for you, pray with you, ask, answer any of your questions, help you. But we'll not chase you. You just got to let us know. And so Freedom, why don't you stand up? Freedom is one of our care pastors. Also, Miss Debbie's in the information center across the hallway. She's available. She's one of our care pastors. Let us know. After church, go up and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. I want you to know. Here's my phone number, and we'll get a hold of you, and they'll contact you. And we're here for you. Amen. Because it's just not a one-time decision. It's walking this thing out with God. Amen. Get a church. Be part of our church. Be part of, get a Bible. And watch what God will do. All right, let me speak a blessing over your life. This comes out of Numbers chapter 6. Were you blessed today?
Yes.
Amen. This comes out of Numbers chapter 6. God told Moses, have Aaron the high priest speak this over the people and I will do it. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen.